The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 190. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, which I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
So, people, how's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Adam Vale.
Yo, yo, it's Thursday.
Brett Murdoch.
What up, everybody?
And joining us tonight, our good friend, Mr. Robert Workman.
Is it Friday yet?
Yeah, it's not. This week's been slow, too, man.
We need it this week. It's been that kind of week.
It's been kind of nutty out there. We're not going to get into that, obviously. We don't do that on Throwdown, but pretty nutty. And it's been so crazy. I forgot I was supposed to invite our friend Riku's son here. So while I do that, Robert, why don't you tell us what you've been up to, man, ever since E3?
Hey, Robert, it's been so long since we've seen you.
I know you missed me with every ounce of your well-being. I'm not just busy with post E3 stuff. I've been working on games, been working on The Crew 2, Crash Bandicoot on Switch, just working through the motions, getting ready for August. That's going to be a really mad time because we're talking RTX Austin, we're talking QuakeCon, we're talking PAX. It's going to be an insane month. So, and it's hot as shit.
I mean, that sounds terrible. Just objectively, that just sounds awful.
Yo, man, you going to RTX?
I'm going to RTX, yeah.
Nice, I got to buy you a drink, man.
Oh, cool. Let me know, dude. We're in.
Yeah. By the way, as a game journalist, I actually does sound very horrible. That's too much work right there.
It's so people are like, you're having fun, aren't you?
That's a lot of travel, man.
Who wants to deal with that shit?
I'm adding up the miles.
But still doing what you love, even if it's work, is better than... Like, oh my God, take a break from game journalism or a professional art career. Go work at 7-Eleven for a day and tell me that this shit is as bad as you thought.
Yeah. I never said this job was bad. You guys were saying the job is bad. I love this job.
I'm sorry. I'm putting words in your mouth. I'm
not putting anything in my mouth. I didn't do anything.
I didn't say nothing.
Yeah. No, but the thing is, it comes with the good and bad. It's nice to dual SIP, but it's also annoying traveling. But it all evens out in the end. You know what I'm saying? Because most of the time, you're just at home writing. You know what I'm saying? So it kind of balances itself out, you know?
And also, if you've ever seen Robert work, it's insane. His name is Workman for a reason.
Yeah, I literally type 95 words a minute.
That's insane. Like, I'm like, because we were actually on during E3. During the EA E3 thing. I was sitting next to Rob because I found him, saw him there. I was like, and see what he was up to. And then literally, he's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna do this impressions on this thing. All right, done. Bam. I'm like, what? Meanwhile, it takes me like three, four hours to figure out even what to write about.
Yeah.
The game. It's like that.
And then you erase it afterwards. Like, I don't like that. The game.
Yeah, it'd be like, the...
Oh, I made a mistake.
I made one mistake. I got to erase the entire paragraph now.
He doesn't have Word. He has like some sort of writing program from the 80s, like Quantum or something. I don't know.
Using Lotus Notes. No. He's using an antique Irish typewriter from the 1800s.
Oh, the one where you actually have to manually go, ding.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, Matt, a couple of things here. I want to wish a belated birthday to our awesome moderator, Kristen. I hope she's with us there. So,
happy birthday.
Yay. You know, and also we want to welcome our good friend, one of the originals of Throwdown, one of the founders, if you will, Mr. Riku-san 1.
Hello, can anybody hear me?
Yes, man, we hear you just perfectly.
Oh, hi, everybody. How's everybody doing tonight?
Yeah. Hi, Riku. Officially, you know, Riku is one of the Robotech masters.
Robotech?
Huh? No, Riku doesn't understand that.
He's one of the Robotech masters.
You got to frame it in macro. So before we start, Riku, man, you did something very cool for us. So, okay, for those who may not know, Riku has never played Final Fantasy VII, the original, right? But he actually streamed himself playing it for like 2 months or something like that. And you something finished, like that. you finished the final part over the weekend. So please tell us what you think of the game overall and the whole process of streaming it and all that.
It was a fun experience. I do not hate Final Fantasy VII.
Why
Final
you Fantasy Why you
VII
Why you
hates
hating?
Me. No. I enjoyed my time fairly with Final Fantasy VII, streaming it. Gonna go back and get that plat. Do I feel it lived up to the hype? For the time that it came out, I can definitely see why people consider this one of the greatest games of all time. Square Enix was definitely pioneering their way during 1997. That Sephiroth fight, I think that fight still holds up. That Supernova was insane. I died like 2 times. It was awesome, man. Final Fantasy VII is a great game. So I need these rumors to stop that Riku-san one hates Final Fantasy VII because they're not true.
Tony, I heard Riku really hates that Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I fucking hates that shit.
Oh my god. No, I mean, if you go back and watch my stream, I can definitely see why people were saying
it was really pissed off.
It was a lot of your there was quite a bit of sections that were sounded pretty frustrating, but I didn't. Personally, you know, I've watched most of your streams on there and, you know, kind of semi-moderating sort of things. But, yeah, I mean, you didn't seem like you were, overall, you were like, hey, this is pretty decent, except for a lot of those silly mini-games that they threw out the game.
Which the things that I was getting pissed at are things that you would assume that anybody that played Final Fantasy VII during this time would get pissed at. And those were those fucking minigames and the dated controls and camera angles sometimes. That's really honestly all I was complaining about for my entirety of me playing Final Fantasy VII. As far as the story, I was enjoying it. I don't even think I complained about anything when it came to the story, which, you probably could find some sort of plot hole or, nitpick here or there, but I didn't really have any issue with the characters, the story, or the gameplay. Like, when I was in gameplay, I was enjoying myself. It was when I was not in gameplay, running around or, trying to climb up a ladder and I'm pressing it, but it's not working. And I'm like, what's going on here?
That was back, to give you a little context on a lot of that stuff. That was back in the day when, Square could not do normal controls. I always had this theory. that since Square did not even understand real controls, that's why they couldn't really do a battle that had you actually press a button and you do something.
Oh, I always thought it was because Square Enix was run by lobster men.
So it's like to alleviate any sort of control, you just press the fight button or the defense button, and it just does it when it's convenient,
Also, everybody that's saying a lot of this stuff, like, they don't remember. Like, I'll even jump in further straight and be the bad guy. Like, Final Fantasy VII looks like shit. It aged terribly in both mechanics and visuals. Now, the gameplay, the base idea, and the story are all left intact, and it sounds like Riku appreciated all of those things, but like, guys, like, go back and play. He said 97. Go back and play a 21-year-old game and tell me that it's not mildly frustrating.
To be honest, just going back, just watching him play it, like, it didn't seem off to me. Like, in other words, sometimes you go back to something that was from the PlayStation generation or that, and you just kind of like, oh wow, that's a lot worse than I remember. No, it was about the same. And to be honest, I was actually kind of a little bit happy with some of the way it looked, because it was like, the characters in the game are kind of a lower res. Like,
oh, yeah,
even
but
the 3D models
were awful. The cutscenes were terrible.
Nah, they were just fine.
Quick fun story about Final Fantasy, because back in the day, I didn't have a PlayStation because I was a fucking Sega fanboy. I was hating on PlayStation, but it was one of those games I always wanted.
Repeat the last part of that.
And I have to repeat this every time because people forget. Back in the day, I hated PlayStation. I was a Sega fanboy, right?
In those days, he used to call, what was it, 17 or 16 years old, he used to call the PlayStation the Sony gay station.
Yeah.
There you go, man, Tony. Say it one more time for the Xbox in the back.
You know, but anyway, so I never actually played the game myself back in the day, but I saw Manny play the whole thing, right? So I didn't actually play the game until like 2009, right? First time I'm actually playing it, I didn't run into any other issues. I was blown away because when I play these old games, I put myself in that mindset of like, hey, what was it like when it came out? And I remember when it came out. I remember all the hoopla. So I was still blown away by the mechanics, the cutscenes, the story. And the funny thing is I was actually playing that game with Fallout 3 had just come out. And I'm like, man, fuck Fallout 3. Final Fantasy 7 is way better than this shit. You know, like to me, it was more that old ass Final Fantasy was more polished than Fallout. You know, it's hilarious. But to me, I think the game held up beautifully, you know.
But little things sneak up on you. And like, I just had this moment. Excuse me. We haven't talked about Dark Souls long enough. I've been going back to Dark Souls Remastered. And when I was like, even as Chris, like, I was like, man, I can't put my sword in my left hand and actually swing sword combos. It only just does this one weird awkward lunge, like, what the fuck, and I can't come out of a roll into a sweep anymore. And Chris is like, yeah, dude, we're dealing with the old school mechanics. And I was like, I forgot how much they polished the mechanics in these games. Like, it was just inches and degrees, and you go back and you're like, I feel clumsy and awkward and kind of drunk, but like, I mean, the game is still awesome, but it is way, way, way simpler than Dark Souls 3. Going from 3 to 1 is, it's noticeable, isn't it, Chris?
Oh, absolutely. There's subtle differences, and like, they could have added some improvements. Like, I was complaining about this before, because they added like a bonfire somewhere, and they added little things, and I'm like, but you couldn't like fix the rolling balance with your encumbrance and equip load and any of that stuff from 2 or 3, like, take some of those improvements back? No, they're just like, nah, you get the clunky old shit. Remember this? It's great. It's shiny.
But yeah, Tony, as far as what you said with the mechanics, you didn't feel any of that. You felt it aged wonderfully.
Yeah.
I really do think that depends on the person, their perception, and like you said, putting yourself in the time it came out. Because, yeah, when it came to me, when it came to the, you know, the outside mechanics, you know, running around, anything to do with any mini game in that game, except for, like, I guess the motorcycle one, and the... climbing up on stuff. I thought all of that actually aged pretty poorly. And
the timing, like that one part where you have to do the timing stuff.
Oh my god!
Or the stupid Simon Says things where you have to kind of.
No, let me finish though. Let me finish though. Yeah. I do think it. Like,
one thing, Kariku. I think it's because you never really play games like that. I did play games like that where basically like you had a static background and the characters were polygons. So I'm used to that already. Like Resident Evil, I'm like, oh, this is some Resident Evil shit, you know. So yeah, I was used to it.
I could see why you would say that, because I remember I think we had that a conversation about, you know, games aging and if they aged badly or wonderfully. And we all had a lot of different opinions on that. And two games we were talking about back in the day, I remember Carlos was a part of this conversation. One of the games were Super Mario 64. And then the other game was Sonic Adventure, whether it's 1 or 2. And I remember Carlos was on the side that I think he said that he felt that Mario 64 didn't age as badly as you thought it did. And then I was on side as far as Sonic. I didn't feel Sonic Adventure aged as badly as you thought it did, 1 or 2. So I, like I said, I definitely do think, yeah, you playing those Resident Evil games and all that stuff definitely put you in a mindset that made you not feel as, you know, the same way that I felt.
Yeah,
I wish I did fucking play those games. I think down the line I might hop into Resident Evil, but that's after the Metal Gears and the RPGs, so that's like fucking 2040 we talking about.
You know, it's funny, you know, at this point in time you could pretty much just play the 2 remakes that they made.
Like, I know, right?
The remake of 1 and 2.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, I just want to move on because we got a bunch of stuff to cover. We're finally going to do this. We have a contest for you guys, man. So, Manny, what are we giving away to the people?
What we are giving away to the people, which I'm you need to vamp a little bit while I get it.
All right,
is
and yeah,
this.
And you got this at E3.
I got this at E3. I stood on a little line for it. It's a poster signed by the producer of Street Fighter V.
Mr. Yoshinori Ono.
I mean, Mr. Ono.
Somebody wrote all over it, man.
Yeah, he did.
It fucked up the poster.
And I even have proof that I took that I got this from him because I took a photo next to him pointing at it.
Yeah.
All right, really, so, you're just like, hey, man, can you believe this forgery? Can I get a picture?
Yeah,
exactly. Man, take a picture. So what we're gonna do is we're actually gonna announce the winner next. Actually, no, it's on Sunday. But Robert's actually gonna ask a question. Robert, I'm just gonna have you ask the question several times during the show, so you know people could get used to it. But this looks fun. But before you ask the question, so how do you win this? It's simple. Basically, go over to our Twitter at Throwdown Show and leave your question there. All you guys in the chat right now, live, do not answer live. You will be disqualified. Do not answer this shit live, all right? You wait until the show's over, then you answer it. So, Robert, trick question. What are we asking what are we asking the people?
Well, what is a trick question? That's an actual question.
It's a trick question.
Hey, Robert, I was going to give you the poster, right? Psych!
Yeah, anyway. It's a trick question because some of these people may be too young to remember this movie.
Okay, yeah. So I want to see what kind of diehard Street Fighter fans are out there. The 1994 live-action Street Fighter movie that starred Jean-Claude Van Damme and the late Raul Julia. Who directed it?
All right. Only clue you're going to get is this man.
And you also
I know that one.
Also, there's also a little bit extra to that. Who directed it and what other famous movies is the same person responsible for?
Yeah, that last part. Yeah. The last part is not a requirement, but yes, this man wrote a lot of your favorite 80s action movies.
But Street Fighter was terrible.
But this is a Street Fighter poster. We have to ask a Street Fighter poster.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. That's a big ask because some of us have burned the memory of that goddamn movie out of our head.
Would you rather I bring up the memory of the other Street Fighter movie, the one where Chun-Li was Asian?
You just did. That hurts. That physically.
Sorry, I'm just saying the Van Damme one is way more digestible than whatever the fuck that follow up was. So you take that and swallow that bitter pill.
Oh my god.
Better. Okay. And don't insult Raul Julia. Don't. And my podcast partner, David Giltinen, he idolizes M. Bison's Raul Julia.
Yes. By the way, he probably Raul Julia was the only one who knew what movie he was in. Because that guy literally chewed up the scenery, and it was amazing. Whatever.
Yeah, that was incredible.
Van Damme was coked out of his mind.
He was coked out of his mind. The rest of the people, didn't even know what they were doing. Raul Julia in the whole is the only person in that movie just really got it. He was like, oh, yeah, I know where I am.
Yeah, but so anyway, guys, again, please throw your answers over on the Throwdown Twitter at Throwdown Show, and we're gonna ask you again a couple more times during the course of this because we got some other Street Fightery related things to talk about. But the first one we're gonna speak on, this one's interesting. This just came down the pipe tonight or today, whatever you are. Google is having some plans to get into gaming. Very interesting stuff, Robert. What can you tell us about all this?
I didn't know I was supposed to.
Okay, I just want to throw you under fire.
I understand. They've been talking like a number of different developers. They're trying to put their name out there on a platform that would rival Xbox and PlayStation. And there are a number of rumors surrounding this. They've been doing this research since 2014. They've been trying to like figure out a good streaming platform. I'm even hearing stuff that they want to spend billions of dollars to acquire Electronic Arts to put them in their courts. So, I mean, I'm hearing all sorts of stuff, but it's unsubstantiated. Obviously, Google's not saying a word, but it sounds like all they need to do is make a couple of moves and get a piece of hardware that, you know, actually exists compared to, like, say, the Atari VCS. And, you know, it could hurt something.
Just bring back the Ouya. Yeah.
No. You want to talk about being nauseated? Street Fighter is child's play compared to the Ouya.
Yeah, right.
I was part of that Kickstarter team, boy.
I was at that launch party and all the dance music, they just kept doing Ouya.
When you turn it on, it says it goes Ouya.
That's ridiculous. But anyway,
sounds like they're vomiting in reverse.
Yeah, that's horrible. So, yeah, basically, this report came from Jason Schreier, and he says that the biggest rumors going around right now in the gaming industry are not related to next gen. They're actually about Google either starting their own streaming service, maybe doing hardware. And apparently, during E3, they were actually trying to court some developers for whatever they're trying to do. So I just wanted to, we've talked about this before. There was another company that was like trying to, throw their foot in there. So this goes back to what we've always been talking about. Like, is the market big enough to support another system potentially. Go ahead, Brett.
How is this not about next gen? What, you think they're really Google would release a system this gen?
Yeah, well, when they say next gen, they're saying that people aren't really talking about the PS5 and Xbox 2 as much as this Google thing, you know. But you're right about that. But actually, perfect question. So would this actually be a system you're going to put out? Because it seems like it's going to be actually just a streaming service, and we've seen how those have worked out in the past.
I mean, if they do it a streaming service, it's going to have to be that they're trying to break into the mobile market. And if you're looking at the numbers and answer to investors, I totally get that. But it's a question of which industry are they moving into, because everybody who's not just an idiot investor who's throwing money at whatever says that has good returns knows that the mobile gaming market and the computer/console gaming market are two very different markets. So I think we should first establish where they're trying to go and, you know, what market they're trying to get into.
Well, they said that they're trying to, you know, court some of the big guys. I'm assuming it's not going to be some mobile stuff, you know?
Exactly, which then leads me to believe that they would probably want to release some sort of hardware with it. It'd be weird for them to just... If they tried to take on as just a streaming or distribution service, they'd essentially be coming up against Steam, and that's just a bad idea. Nobody should or can fight Steam. They've secured the top of that mountaintop.
GOG is doing a good job.
GOG is doing a good second. Job. I think GOG actually has a business model of staying in second, because they reap a lot of, you know, they eat up a lot of Steam's wake, and then they undercut them at certain points. So,
and they keep all the bullshit off of their stuff.
Yeah. So I think to a certain extent, like, it's like an antagonist. It only really works in the context of there being a protagonist. I think if GOG became the main service, that you'd see them probably lose. That's a whole other discussion. But what I'm saying here is, if you kind of go to A to B to C to D, and I know it's strawmanning a little bit, but I would assume that the end result here would be that Google would release some sort of hardware.
I'm going to make a bet here that if it is looking into the service, it's going to be looking at the mistakes of the past. I mean, take a look at OnLive, right?
Mm-hmm.
It should have worked, but they didn't have enough games to go off of. You know, it had a neat streaming idea, but it didn't really capitalize on it enough. And then you take a look at PlayStation Now, which isn't bad, but, you know, it's expensive. Even though they have PS4 games now, it's expensive, and, you know, cloud streaming isn't always reliable. Just ask anybody
who was in TV.
Resident Evil 7 and Switch. You know, that didn't work out. So, I mean, they're probably looking into some solution that, you know, it has good connectivity while at the same time offers a great deal of diversity in terms of games. That's what they need. A lot of these services seem to be like, one of the main reasons PlayStation Now, I think, is failing is because not many people want to play PS3 games anymore. It does have PS4 games, the majority of the libraries.
That doesn't bother me. It's the whole streaming thing.
It's definitely the streaming thing, bro, because there are some PS3 games I do want to play. When that rumor started that we might be able to download that got my attention.
Okay, yep. That is a cool idea, that I admit. But, I mean, like I said, I mean, until it becomes like something loaded with the new features that people want, that might be what Google's going after.
Yeah, but the thing is, if it's a streaming service, the problem, as we've discussed before, is infrastructure in America isn't really set up for this. Like, especially in the rural areas, you're going to be fucked, you know? So I don't really know how they're going to be able to roll this out. Like, I'm in the big cities, it should be fine, but in the smaller places, I'm not sure. You know, the whole, because, and was it, didn't Ubisoft's CEO the other day say that he believes in like 3 or 4 years, the games industry is going to be mostly digital? I don't know about all that. I don't
know the different analyst that said that, but like 2022.
No, it was him. It was a guy from Ubisoft. It was like the
head. I think he said he didn't believe in subscription plans. He did like the idea of streaming games, but there's got to be a way to do it so it's not set up as a subscription.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he said 2022. That's not that far from now. Console.
Yeah, he was like, no more consoles by then. That's it, we're done.
You know, here's my question, though. When all the, I think there's a difference between digital and streaming, because as a consumer, I would ask the question, why would you have me stream this whole game instead of letting me download a cache and just work off the game installed on my system? And, you know, even if I have to be online, even if this is an online-only game, let me download a cache of assets so that my game doesn't have to put as much you know, tax on the cloud. That only kind of makes sense. It's going to give me a better experience. My game, just, you know, like when you install a game from your disk onto your hard drive, it tends to run a little bit better. So I get on purchasing games digitally, but what is the big selling point to me, the consumer, of not having that game installed on my platform or not being able to, like,
simple, because if you have a kind of shitty PC, you could stream a game that's running off a better PC and you'll be, you know, you'll have a better experience that way.
Yeah, your experience will not be dependent on the hardware that you currently have in your house.
Yeah, the hardware you have will be irrelevant. So that, you know, I mean, if you're planning on playing it on PC, obviously that's the advantage right there. But again, it comes with the thing. It's like, okay, what if the buffering's all fucked up or whatever, you know? There's a lot of things like I understand that, yes, we are moving towards all digital. I understand that. But at the same time, there's still a lot of kinks there that haven't been worked out yet. And I don't think will be worked out anytime soon.
So. Not to mention the fact, like, what happens if your internet goes down?
Yeah.
What are you going to play?
Exactly.
Something in your head? Checkers, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, right? You go back to old school.
Time
man.
To pull out Monopoly.
Or when you get the big bubble. I mean, does anybody else see the 3 o'clock drop in internet speed when all the kids get home from school?
Yeah, that's the other thing. You know, it's like you have to wait till nighttime to play our games. You know, I don't know, man.
45.
Yeah, I do want to comment on one thing you said, Brett, about how no one's going to dethrone Steam. Remember, the same thing was said about Nintendo in the late 80s, and look what happened. So, you know.
Yeah, but Steam is still really good to its customers. I mean, they've pretty much just built a market, and then they're not really being dicks about anything. They continue to offer the same service, and, you know. They're not shaking. They're not rocking the boat, man.
Hey,
like,
man,
all Tony
is saying is never say never.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm also not saying Steam is going to be topple. I'm just saying a viable competitor could still come out. You know.
Well, okay, I agree with that. Let me rephrase it by saying this: if I am looking to enter a different market in different markets in the gaming industry, I'm going to look at that one and go, oh no, that's saturated as a motherfucker. I could try and take a piece of that pie. But that is going to be a hell of a battle. And that's why I don't think a lot of people really take Steam head on. They subvert them, sure. They give other avenues, or they try and push their own platforms with exclusive content. But none of it has really worked. That's all I'm saying. It's a market that Steam heavily dominates. And it would be – you'd be fighting, you know, tooth and nail just to gain every inch of ground.
Yeah. I agree with that. I agree. I'm just saying you never know. But yeah, right now Steam is a fucking juggernaut, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's probably going to take something like, say, the release of Super Seducer 2 to knock everybody out.
Right. There you go. I can't believe they made a sequel out of that.
Seriously, we aren't getting the sequels we want, but for some reason, that piece of shit's getting a sequel. Okay.
And you get Shaq Fu as a sequel.
Yeah, right?
Well, like, hey, that's
pretty good.
Yeah, at least that it's way more good. Playable. That's way more playable. Plus, it has Icy Hot. You can't go wrong with Icy Hot.
Oh, man. Hey, look at that. Brian's here. What's going on, Brian?
Brian Munjoma.
Mr. Munjoma.
What's up, people?
Hey, man. What's your thoughts on all this, bro?
I just have to add in, and this is kind of funny, and I'm kind of odd. Well, I think kind of odd that Brett didn't mention this. Brett, you mentioned that why would people prefer streaming over having it on their device? Well, Brett, why do people like playing the Switch?
Because of convenience.
Convenience and being able to play games on the go. And the fact that a lot of the games are actually fun to play either on the go or at home. That's nice to have.
There we go. Games on the go. Like, if you can stream your games, then you can potentially play your games wherever you are. Like, well, you aren't tied down.
If you have an internet connection, that's the thing. You could go camping. And you'd be truly fucked if you try to connect your device to the internet.
Run through a dead spot.
I want that bare Wi-Fi. You know,
that's my point. Like,
the idea of, like, you aren't tied down to just one central location. Is that, like, you can stay? Okay, you can go home and play there. Okay, you can go to work and still play the same game because your device is going to be like your phone or something like that. Because again, you can just stream in the content from a server. So hence, you can go to work, play there. Go home, play there, possibly on transportation to and from home, go to McDonald's or some of that, go to, what do you call it, Starbucks, hopefully don't get arrested, and play there. So yeah, it is possible to, like, play
the same experience. Like, is that realistic? Like, you know, okay, so you take it to work, you take it to Starbucks, you take it to McDonald's. Like, internet is spotty, and some places you get really good speed, sometimes you get really bad, so we'd be playing, like, a really low res or almost broken version if you're trying to play it at McDonald's. My whole thing was, and I get that, but, like, if you could pre-render some of the assets, even just, like, even if you had a hybrid model to stop you from, like, if God forbid your internet hiccups and jumps out for 60 seconds and then pops back on, that you don't crash the whole game. You need to have some sort of buffer there, don't you?
I wouldn't think so. Like, no? I would think that there's at least a chance of, well, personally speaking, I would like the idea, okay, the concept of taking the game on the go excites me more than being able to download the game, in my opinion. Because I think that being able to play the game on the go means that you aren't just tied down to just, hey, you have to, like, wait until you're home to play the game. It's like, okay, cool, you know what? Break out your phone, like, have a quick play, like, maybe while you're waiting for a bus.
You're a portable gamer, Brian?
No, because portable games are kind of meh.
Yeah, see,
little games like on the go, like, yeah, that'd be great.
You're just defending the people that do like portable gaming. You're taking their stance, is what you're doing right now.
Yeah, I like the idea of being able to game on the go. Like,
but you don't like doing it. I don't understand.
Yeah, you like the idea that they want to play a proper game on the go.
Yeah, the games that are out there, I have no interest in.
Well, here's the problem.
If I can play Warframe on the go, then I think that'd be great.
But here's the problem: if you play it on your phone, it's not the same experience as, say, with a Switch, with a Game Boy, because you're not using traditional controls. You're using these touchscreen controls that not everybody's crazy about. You know, if you want to take like a console-based experience and try to play it on your phone, you're going to notice differences. Like, you have to use an on-screen D-pad.
I'm not talking about playing on your phone, as in the actual phone itself. I mean, just the concept of taking a game and being able to play it wherever you are. That is the concept that I'm liking. And hence why I'm saying, like, that is something that you could use to entice people to say, hey, this is our streaming service. You can play your games on the go. Like, hey, here's like an Ouya controller, or here's like a something controller. And then you whip it out, and then voila, you're playing your game wherever you are.
Wait, you're talking about the controller snapping it onto your smartphone and playing it that way?
I guess so. I'm not going into specifics because I don't really care about that. All I'm saying is that the concept of being able to say, okay, I can go home, play Warframe.
Are you saying like a Switch should do this?
No, I'm saying that the concept of streaming your games.
You guys are getting too hung up on this, man. Brian's making
No, I'm just fucking with Brian at this point. I'm sorry, Brian. I'm sorry.
We're going to continue. We're going to have that conversation later.
Right? No, yeah, we'll do that later. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, I just want to add one thing real quick. The problem with that is that when you hook up a device for streaming, there's still that matter of authenticating what games you're downloading. Because anybody can easily pick up your signal and try to hack you and get your information that way. So security also plays a big part in terms of just trying to get a game to stream anywhere. Whereas if you download games to the Switch, Nintendo authorizes that system because they know it's the game, either by download or by the cartridges in the system. That's why nobody's really trying to hack a Switch. I mean, pirates have been running left and right trying to get shit figured out on it. It's not working.
Adam actually knows something.
Bro.
Maybe the virtual console, if you don't get online with it.
No, virtual console. No, you can play backups. I already have two backups. You can already do it, man. There's a card.
You know something I don't.
Look up the executor. Just look up the executor chip. You can go get the chip now.
Are we allowed to say this shit on air, bro?
Hey, it's your podcast. I'm just a guest here.
Listen,
crazy, son.
We do not endorse anything illegal on this show.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
We don't endorse piracy, but it's like the R4. It exists, you know?
Yeah, it exists.
Yeah, it's there.
I'm telling you, man, Nintendo's going to catch up. Watch.
Well, their thing is that they want to put the security on the actual cartridge. So then that means that people can't sell their games. So let's say if they put it on a game and then that person has a game and they upload the backup for it, people download it, they realize they're seeing three or four of these on the network, they ban that cart. The guy realizes, the cart's banned. He sells it to GameStop. GameStop sells it. Next person gets it, realizes, hey, I can't play this game. What's going on? It's like, shit, sorry, we didn't know. Too bad. So that's what Nintendo's trying to do now. Put the security on the game itself.
They won't do it to the point where the game is locked out. They haven't done that for years, and they won't do that. So
that was their plan that they brought up last week.
Yeah, but anyway, any final thoughts on Google potentially joining the games industry? Chris, Carlos?
Save us, Google.
Yeah, Chris, Carlos, any thoughts?
I just think, like, unless they... they come out strong, like you have to have some kind of software, some kind of good offering. I don't see how this is gonna benefit them, really. I think this is another venture, like when they started buying like blogs or whatever. It's just another thing for them. They have so much money like another ridiculous venture. It's like, what did they do with blogger.com or Orkut or any of the, that other stuff? Like iGoogle, they just keep trying these things and they just like languish, right? So I don't know. I don't see it going anywhere.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of people say that too. You know, Google, you know, yeah.
Last thing, Chris, you don't see it going anywhere, but do you want it to go somewhere? Would you like to see Google enter? Yeah, well, let's say hypothetically, Google enters the console war, and they come out and they start making their own first party companies and getting up to that level of Xbox and Sony as far as releasing their own first party games, and the quality is up there. Would you want that?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I've always said, competition is a good thing. I'd be hypocritical. It's like, no, I don't want Google entering the market. It's I'm complaining about the mainstream game industry. I'm slamming EA every other day for being shitty. Like, yeah, you need competition, sure. And if Google brings some innovation to the table, let's say they make Gaikai work, right? Like they make something that is so seamless streaming that it's like jaw dropping, right? Then everybody's gonna be like, oh, shit, what do we do now? You know, like you need that kick in the ass.
We need that.
Honestly, if this were Silicon Valley and they figured out middle out compression in an online cloud streaming service and everything was, you know, immediately, like Chris said, revolutionized,
Rico, chill out on the background noise, bro.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, go ahead,
guarantee you they'd use all their Google Glass stuff and actually come out with a viable VR as well as a console and a series of games, because all of a sudden they'd be able to do all of this shit. They'd be able to implement new engines, they'd actually be able to make VR work, they'd be able to, you know, bring in more filters, make voxel-based games with fully destructible environment. They would just unlock the keys to the kingdom and dominate everything. But is that really a realistic solution? Do they have some secret magic way of offloading the you know, computation in an efficient manner? And then the question becomes, where is all this computational power being drawn from? Is there a giant computer farm coming from somewhere? And how is that being paid for? How much are they charging us? Like, it would be industry changing in good, in the best ways and the worst ways and all the ways in between. But I don't – that's, again, really standing on – has Google figured out the way to actually make cloud service, cloud computing viable? And the answer has been no for so long that I don't know if that's a realistic question to even ask.
Also, I wonder if many gamers would trust Google. I just say this last thing, that we know from PlayStation and Microsoft, right? Google is all about like data mining and all this other shit, right? So they get into gaming. I just have one eye like, I don't know about this.
Yeah, Richard Bailey is saying that in the chat. He's like, I don't trust Google. And Joey says that Google hired Phil Harrison, who was former PlayStation and Xbox, so he does have experience there. Riku, we got to chill out with that background noise, bro. Just mute yourself.
Are you wrestling a bear?
Yeah, what the fuck, dude? I think he said be right back. But yeah, as for Riku's question about, like, do I want Google thing, I kind of just see this thing as like a 3D or something that'll be really neat and then just go away in a year or two.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I really don't think the market could support four healthy systems. Hell, three healthy systems is already an anomaly. Like, you know, back in the day, Robert, you know this too. Two was the max.
We have three healthy systems?
Yeah, we do.
Why the hell would you bring up the 3DO? That was like $700.
Yeah, but they
dropped the price.
Yeah, it'll fit in like just like TurboGrafx 16 fit in.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it'll be an interesting anomaly. That's the way I see it, you know? We'll see, man. All right, let's move on here because we do have a bunch of things to. This is a busy week, believe it or not. What's up?
Quick thing. Brett?
Yes.
Silicon Valley.
Damn it.
Okay, that's enough.
I know. I'm lost.
While we're bringing up random things, I'm reading the description from Super Seducer 2. This is depressing. Mahmood is in town, and he has some dates. Can he seduce his Habibi? Will the 25-year age gap help or hinder him? Oh, my God.
Jesus. Game of the year. Yeah. Game of the year.
You know it's serious when one of the chapters is called Get Her Into Bed.
Wow. Hey, man, there you go. All right, I had a comment, but I'm not going to say it on here. Anyway, let's move on. So this is interesting. So this week, there was an interview with one of the BioWare guy, right? And they asked him, why did Mass Effect Andromeda fail? This guy came up with every excuse but the obvious one, that it was a bad game. He said that basically his main was like, oh, the game came out at a time where a bunch of other big name RPGs came out and we, you know, we got lost in the shuffle. It's like, what other RPGs came out then?
Yeah, the word is crowded.
Crowded.
That is such a bullshit excuse.
It is a bullshit excuse.
Why did you lose the strongman competition? Oh, because there were actual strong people that showed up.
Well, it's not only that. He explicitly mentions Zelda Breath of the Wild. Yeah. And it's like, that is not a competition for this game. Not only is it coming out for a console that works. You're right, man.
Riku, you need to mute yourself, bro, making all that noise and shit.
I don't think he can hear you.
He probably can. Let me text this motherfucker. I think he can mute him.
It's like when I...
Here's the problem in terms of the Mass Effect theory is that you can't blame it on a crowded market. The problem with Mass Effect, it was bombarded before it released. Too many people were releasing these videos regarding, you know, the quality of the graphics, the weird duck walk one. You know, it's almost like a lot of people went out there and torpedoed the game before it even came out, before anybody could give it a fair chance, because they were too busy making fun of the graphics and the glitches and all this stuff. And a lot of people are like, well, this is not the Commander Shepard I know. So if you're going to blame anything, you know, blame somebody who had early exposure to the game and exposed the problems with it before the game was patched. It's not a matter of crowded reviews. I gave it a good review, and there was nothing crowded about it. So.
There was nothing else coming out. Like, I know Legend of Zelda was out, but the thing is, like, you know, most reviewers, me and Robert included, we got the game before Zelda. So it was not crowded at all. And I gave it a fair review too, you know, but the thing is, like, you know, yeah, the game had some bad press beforehand. Mass Effect 3's, you know, that kind of affected it too. If this was like a full-on Mass Effect game on the level of 1 and 2, it wouldn't have mattered if every game came out that week. It would have done really, really well, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But because it was separated, because it was a brand new story, and because, like I said, a lot of people had already written up before the game came out. I mean, that's why they're doing so much caution with Anthem. You know, they're only showing so much. They're only showing, like, letting people get hands-on with so much, and they're making sure they don't have a date. You know, they're going generic also.
I think that was such a bullshit excuse, man. I would have instantly shot back at him. I mean, like, oh, you're competing against the game whose console you're not launching on? That game? Is Mass Effect running on the Switch? Oh, okay. Right. But Nier Automata is not a problem, and Persona 5 is not a problem. Like, all the games that launched around Mass Effect, not Horizon Zero Dawn, it was Zelda, that's running on a console that you're not running on. That was the problem. All right.
Yeah, that was bullshit. But here's my thing. Why didn't he give the typical executive thing? Oh, we're very proud of the game we produced. He could have just said that and left it alone. But he had to come up with this excuse that's easily, like, debunked, you know? Yeah, you're really worried about the game that came out on one system. That how many Switches were out at that point? Like 2 million?
Yeah, exactly. And another thing you have to consider, the market is always crowded. We're in the middle of summer, and this week alone, we're getting The Crew 2, Crash Bandicoot on Switch, Wolfenstein 2 on Switch, like all these different games that are coming out. I've got a stack of them I got to review, but you don't hear me complaining, oh, everything's crowded.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, it's so crowded out here.
It's so crowded, I can barely move my elbows.
Yes.
You know, it's so weird, Bill, that he just decided, he's just like, oh, yeah, it was a crowded market, too many RPGs happening at the same time, and literally just said, oh, yeah, it was Breath of the Wild. No. Again, like we just said, it's like, why are you blaming that thing that's only on one console? You know? You were on every. You guys were literally on everything. You launched on a PC, an Xbox, and a PlayStation, and you still couldn't beat that game that was on one thing.
It's on one console that launched at the same time as the game you're blaming.
Yeah, not to mention the fact they're 18 days apart in release. You're telling me you couldn't, I mean, I know Legend of Zelda is a long game, but you're telling me you couldn't get the gist of what it was about and then move on to Mass Effect and then maybe go on to Zelda afterwards? If it came out maybe the same day, there might be a little bit more merit to that excuse. But the fact that there is like almost a 3-week separation.
Yeah. And you can also make the argument that Mass Effect has been a bigger title than pretty much any game, like other than Zelda, pretty much every other game that came out. Like during that span, Mass Effect as a franchise is bigger than all those games, including Horizon.
Yeah, like I said, if this was like a Mass Effect on the level of previous ones, it wouldn't have had a single issue. People would have bought it. It would have reviewed well. It was the quality of the game itself that hurt it, not all these other outside factors. But obviously, he doesn't want to say that. And again, I understand why he wouldn't want to say that. But making up this lame excuse, man, nah, son.
Well, the last thing you want to do is demean Mass Effect, because they may be shelved right now, but BioWare said they would be back. But I agree, there could have been another route that they could have taken. Saying it's a crowded market. Well, of course it's a crowded market. Everybody wants to release games. Welcome to the industry.
Yeah, that's kind of how things work here. You know,
can you give us a little breathing room, Red Dead Redemption? Damn it.
Silliness.
There's too many games out here.
Too many games.
Too many good games, guys. What happened to Acclaim? Damn it.
God. All right. Anybody else want to throw in any final thoughts on this?
By the way, I do not miss Acclaim. I do not.
Man. All right. Sticking with EA here. So reports came out today, I believe. So Amy Hennig, she left EA 6 months ago, apparently, and her Star Wars game is on hold. So, fuck, man. Here's the thing. For years, you know, if you guys been watching this show, I've always been like, listen, I don't give a fuck what other Star Wars things EA has going on. I want that Amy Hennig game. Nope.
And now we're not getting it. Well, the problem was, you know what they did. They fucked with something that looked like it was going to be perfect.
Yes.
You know, you had Visceral Games working on this great single-player adventure, and you had Amy Hennig behind it. And what do they do? Oh, we want a multiplayer experience. Shut down Visceral. We'll do some other role for Amy. They threw the entire toolbar into that whole thing, and they destroyed everything. So they expect her to stick around?
Yeah, this was work. Yeah, it's pretty simple. It's like, okay, she had a clear vision. She said it was going to be like an Uncharted-like Star Wars game, kind of like 1313, if you guys remember that from back in the day. It was going to be a single-player experience. And they're like, oh, no, throw in multiplayer. Make it massively multiplayer. Games as a service, all this shit. Yeah, of course she was going to leave. You know, the games are just on hold right now. They could be coming out. But whatever game comes out is not going to be what she envisioned, which is sad. You know, and now apparently she's going to start her own studio, little indie company, you know, which could be good. You know, that's...
For VR, she said.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know about that. I'm like, VR's kind of already dying, Amy. You may want to do something else, you know?
She might work at this indie stuff, and I would love to see a small... I mean, imagine if she did a game like Night in the Woods. It'd be amazing if she did something like that.
I mean, maybe she could give life to the VR market, but yeah.
Man, I'm telling you, VR ain't dead. There are people within the industry, game developers and content makers and hardware makers that are opening and looking in the market. Like, I know you don't see it yet, but if somebody's in the market, it's like, hey man, like, I'm telling you, it's gonna pop. Like,
okay, hold on, Brett. Remember what happened last year? You were telling me like, hey Tony, you went to E3, you saw a bunch of VR stuff. Doesn't that mean VR is, you know, here to stay? And this year,
that wasn't what the thing was. It was VR in the zeitgeist. It did. It reached critical mass in the zeitgeist. Everybody heard about it. Everybody knew about it. That showed investors that the money is there, and now it's back into a development cycle. And you're gonna see, as I said, you're gonna see that three or four times where it jumps into the market, gauges some interest, and then goes back into development because you have to pour a shit ton of money into this.
Yeah, but again, I'm asking you, how come this year the only people showing VR was Sony? For almost 3 years in a row, there was VR everywhere at E3. This year, nothing. You know, I think that speaks a lot. I think that says a lot, but we're getting off topic here anyway.
Yeah.
Very sad about Star Wars. Here's the thing. I'm going to say it. I think Disney take that license away from EA.
Because I was going to.
I'm sorry. Listen, EA hasn't
Done
anything.
Don't be sorry.
It's like, yeah, okay.
I mean, seriously. I mean, can you imagine what would happen if Ubisoft had a shot at this?
I'm glad you said that. I was talking to Torrance about this today, and we were like, yeah, I think Ubisoft would be the best ones because they have the money to fund this shit, you know?
And they make compelling games that actually have long-lasting value now. Take a look at For Honor, Rainbow Six Siege. Now imagine if they made a Star Wars game.
The Division, Wildlands. Yeah, exactly. It's crazy.
Wildlands, yeah, I know. Even like Watch Dogs 2, I know people still like.
Just Dance.
Like, all those games that you just mentioned, like you just mentioned that they have long-lasting games, but what are those games? They are online.
But a game!
But a game! No.
Like, they are online, they're multiplayer, they are games that...
They bring are happiness!
The games that EA tried to make the game that Amy was working on. So you're kind of, like, defeating the purpose there. Like, you can't just say that, oh, EA is bad for trying to move in this direction, so give it to a game publisher whose games that are successful are in that direction. Like, you're ending up like where you started at that point in time.
Not really, because EA, because Ubisoft has a track record of making those types of games work. That's what, Yeah, Brian, don't get me wrong. I wouldn't personally like those kind of games. No, Brian, let me finish. I personally wouldn't like those kind of games, but
go down that route. Like,
you're not understanding what I'm saying. EA has clearly not made this shit work. Why not give it to somebody that can make it work? That's what I'm saying.
Then I thought that the whole point that Amy left is that they wanted to make it down that route, and you were against making the game go down that route.
Yeah, but you're not understanding. No. I'm taking my personal feelings out of this. I'm saying, listen, EA has clearly fucked up this license. Give it to somebody else. This is completely divorced of what I want.
We don't want Amy Hennig to make something that she doesn't
want
to do.
No, we don't want that, you know?
I mean, I'd even be happy.
EA has damaged the brand.
Yeah.
I'd even be happy at this point if Nintendo got a hold of the Star Wars license and just brought back stuff like Rogue Leader for Nintendo Switch or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but obviously it needs to be a third party. Torrance like, yo, give it to Microsoft. Obviously, Torrance was saying that.
Add Star Wars characters to Smash Bros.
There you go.
Oh, do it. Do it up, man. Why not? I'd play it.
But but it's clear EA has not done anything good with this thing. Maybe it's time to give it somebody else. Them, you know, Ubisoft, Activision, somebody that can actually fund this shit. I have no faith.
Activision EA will probably do exactly what EA is doing.
No, but the thing is, that is true, and they're not. You think, like Brian said, Ubisoft is going to do the same thing EA did. It's just they have a proven track record. That's the difference. You know, every game that we thought was going to, even games that did initially bomb, they sold like crazy afterwards. You know.
Watch Dogs.
Watch Dogs 2 sold a shit ton. You know, people decry that game. That game sold a lot of copies, you know? But that's because of the rope-a-dope, right, Manny? You know, but yeah, shit like For Honor and all that other stuff, it sold well. So, yeah, but Brett, man, EA, they can't hang, man.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it sounds like maybe Respawn Entertainment's game might have an interesting twist if it has similar aspects to Titanfall, but we really don't know much about it. Just a title and maybe a teaser next year. I mean, that's really about it for their Star Wars plans, because this game is actually on hold. And I mean, obviously they're doing the Clone Wars for Battlefront, and that sounds interesting, but really, I mean, it sounds like they could have been doing a lot more with this. They could have partnered with Nintendo to do like I said, Rogue Leader on Switch. They could have partnered up with different companies to bring back some of the classics. I mean, there was a number of moves they could have made, but they're worried more about the money than the appeal.
Yeah, it's sad, man. And I know Disney's not happy with EA, so this may happen. I remember hearing rumors that they were discussing possibly taking a license away. I'm so satiated, so don't take that as fact there. But
they were upset about the whole scandal with microtransactions.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They were pissed by that.
They actually stepped in, and they were like, no, we're not letting this happen. And the EA scrapped it, very last second before the game went live?
Pretty much. Like,
what is this thing called microtransactions? People talking about?
Is that sort of like what we do at our parks when we charge $18 for Dole Whips?
No, I think what happened was a very dangerous and grim-looking man with a pair of mouse ears came in and went, "Hey, I hear you're damaging our brand with something called what is this, microtransaction? Why is everybody so pissed about this? Whatever it is, shut the fuck down now, or else the thumb screws."
Yeah, it's like, why do people, like, the guy comes in, like, why do people hate Star Wars now? Oh, because we try to introduce microtransactions. Stop making people hate Star Wars.
Yeah. I have altered the deal. Pray I do not alter it any further.
Yes, there you go. So, yeah, we'll see. And Amy Hennig, we wish you good luck on your future ventures. You know,
totally. Since you listen to the show.
Yeah, right.
She's listening because of me.
Hi, exactly, Amy. Yeah. Her and Robert, they're tight, man. They go back, you know.
We're friends.
All right. Okay, we got this next topic, but before we do that, we're going to do it again. So we're going to give it – Manny, get that poster ready, man. We're going to be giving away a free poster of Street Fighter 30th anniversary, right, Manny?
Yep. It's Street Fighter 5.
Ah, Street Fighter 5. Arcade edition. Arcade edition signed by Yoshinori Ono, the producer. Mr. Ono. And if you want to win this poster, you're going to have to answer this question, and you're going to leave your answer over on our Throwdown Twitter, which is at Throwdown Show. And Robert, what is the question, my man?
The question is, the 1994 Street Fighter live-action movie starring Jean-Claude Van Damme and the late Raul Julia. Who directed it? And if you want to throw in a little bonus, what other 80s blockbuster did he work on?
Yeah, just there you go.
There you go. Awesome. You don't have to force it like Emilio.
I am...
They need to work. They need to work for what I give them.
Awesome. All right,
that's disturbing.
It's all the impressions, man. All right, so Robert, this one is here for you, man. So Fighting EX Layer came out of nowhere.
Yeah. Like, now, here's the thing. I was talking to Tony about this, and I swear to God, he's like, I don't know what this game is. Oh wait, it's the Eureka fighting game.
Yeah, the thing is, I knew I was keeping an eye on this thing.
The thing is, I was too, but I didn't realize they named it. It was just because it's been called the Akira fighting game forever. I'm like,
yeah, okay. I know. It started as an April Fool's joke. It launched last year with a fake trailer, and then at Evo, it's like, oh, surprise, it exists.
Real.
Yeah, I know. And then in developing it for the last year, today they released it worldwide in two different forms. There is a light version for $39.99 that comes with 12 fighters and a small amount of currency, and then there is a standard version for $59.99. with 12 fighters, a bonus Hokuto fighter, and more game currency. But here's the problem. When you take a look at the game listing, it doesn't list what the game is missing. Like, I've taken a look at some notes from people. Apparently, the versus AI mode is missing. There's no story mode. There's no general versus mode unless you go online. It apparently is missing a lot of stuff. And when you try to get online with a fight, apparently the community's not that big, so you can't get into a good online fight either. I mean, that might have picked up over the last few hours. I didn't check that. But here's the thing. I thought we learned the lesson from years ago that we don't release a fighting game for a full price unless it has all the features. I thought we'd learned that with Street Fighter V. But apparently that's not the case here. And I tried to talk to Eureka about it, but they don't have a contact. But they do. They have a PR guy, but they're not answering questions. They're not answering what's included in the game and what's not. They just have a general listing. And it sounds unprepared. It sounds like they rushed into this launch and they didn't have all the questions answered. And the only thing I'm able to learn are from the hardcore fans who now, by the way, hate me because I compared this to Street Fighter V. So I wanted to get your fellow's opinion here. You don't charge full price for a game that feels incomplete, do you? I mean, it sounds like they want to add stuff to it, but only if the game is a success.
Destiny doesn't.
That's a different game.
Yeah. By the way, when you were describing it, I'm like, yeah, that's Street Fighter V. That's exactly Street Fighter. Look how well that worked. You know, it's funny you mentioned that because I was thinking about Street Fighter V the other day because last episode we were talking about hey, is Capcom back? Because they got Devil May Cry, they got Mega Man, they got Resident Evil, and Carlos said they're going to be fully back when they release another great fighting game. The thing is, as it exists now, Street Fighter V is an amazing fighting game. The thing is, people still remember that launch. That launch, just like the Xbox One, that launch hurt them. You know, people do not forget that shit. You can't just release. And you said full price. This is $60, this game?
Yeah, well, the light version is $40, and the full version is $60.
Yeah, that's still too much, though.
And I'm telling you, telling somebody, well, we'll add more stuff to it if it sells well. You don't do that. That's like buying a car and not having all the features built into it and be like, well, we'll give you cup holders or whatever if we sell over 100,000 units. You don't do that. If you're charging full price, you give us a full product. That's how it's supposed to work. I mean, not obviously you're going to have DLC. That's fine. BlazBlue Cross Tag Battle does that, and they do it much better. But this sounds like they're holding out on stuff until they see where the game sales gauge out, and they're doing it the completely wrong way.
Yeah, no, that's not right, man. That is this Manny. And those,
that is pretty much what they're doing. It's like they probably didn't invest a whole lot of money into this game, and they're like, all right, let's just release this thing for whatever it is. We're not going to put a lot of work into this thing. We're going to release two SKUs so that just to get people in and see if this can work. Because it's been a while since that. I mean, that company's been continuously making games for a while. But this is kind of like their biggest console game release in a while, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Eureka hasn't done its own console game probably since the days of Street Fighter EX.
They've been doing a lot of cell phone games as of late.
Yeah, I mean, this is like their first major fighting game in years. And I know it's a small team. That's the thing. A lot of people are like, well, it's only a team of four guys in a room. You know, it's kind of like a Kickstarter. Yeah, but they're charging for full price product. That's the thing. You know, they're making all these promises in the game that it's almost slightly in comparison to the Atari VCS. They're promising so much, but we don't really have the complete product to look at.
Yeah, I mean, there's not even any hype for this game. I haven't heard much.
I know you called it the Eureka Fighter.
Yeah, I thought it was Akira, you know, not Eureka. So I'm like, who knows, man? So I don't know. Yeah, it's like you're not building up any hype. You're charging these crazy prices. You're not releasing the full game. It's like, I don't know, man. You know, and the fighting game field is very competitive this year.
You know? I know. I mean, we're getting really good games. You know, we got Blade Strangers coming from Nicolas with Shovel Knight. Big ass Shovel Knight, dude.
Yeah, nice.
We got BlazBlue. We got Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Edition. I know we got a couple other fighting games coming up pretty soon here.
Yeah, Soul Calibur, Jump Force. We got a bunch of stuff coming.
Jump Force, geez, they just added Bleach. That's ridiculous. All these franchises being added to that. But yeah, I mean, all these fighting games loaded up with features, and people are supposed to invest in a game that's not really complete. I mean, we've been through this before.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, okay, how much do you love Street Fighter EX to buy this game? You know,
I mean, here's the thing: like, it's the Street Fighter EX games weren't horrible, but I feel like this is kind of the chance to kind of redo that stuff, and they have enough characters from all the versions of Street Fighter EX to kind of create their own fighting game, which is what they did. But at the same time, it's like you got to kind of put a better foot forward than just kind of this weird semi half step that they did.
I mean, you got to have like something that really hooks. I mean, like BlazBlue Cross Tag Battle, that's easily one of my favorite games. Mm-hmm. They went all out. They advertised, well, this is what you get within the game. Here's some characters you can add to it. And then here's all the modes. And they have like some of the best training modes out there. You know, a Fighting EX layer, I don't even have a list of what modes it has and what it doesn't have. Wow. I have to go off feedback. I have to go off streams. And like I said, the fans are getting mad at me, but they don't seem to realize the point I'm making. I'm not calling the game shitty because of, you know, I'm not calling it shitty because of Eureka's work. They're doing good work. It's the effort in terms of telling us what the game is about. That's missing. And not to mention the fact that if it's missing something, they don't make up for that. You know, they charge full price.
Yeah, so I'm guessing these guys are perfectly happy with the product, the guys that are giving you beef.
I mean, it seems that way. I mean, they support the studio to no end. And you know what? God bless them. Eureka is a good studio. They just really could have approached releasing this game better. Was there anything wrong with releasing like a $20 version? Was there anything wrong with going a little bit smaller and then building up with more content if people want it? Was there anything wrong with that approach?
Yeah, it sounds like they got greedy.
Well, mm-hmm. The funny thing is that, like, it's also kind of sounds like the Dead or Alive plan they did not long ago, where they kind of released a $20 game and you had to buy all the characters separately.
Mm-hmm. It was free to play, and you had to unlock them for.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I mean, that game probably didn't do very well because it's just nobody really cares that much for Dead or Alive. And then the other thing is, it's like, okay, you decided to go free to play, but most people just don't care.
Yeah, who is publishing? Is it Eureka publishing this thing?
Yeah, Eureka is self-publishing it.
Okay.
I mean, Capcom's not involved with this because obviously they have Street Fighter.
That's why the Street Fighter characters are not in it.
Exactly. And
it's also the reason why you've never seen any of the characters from Street Fighter EX in any other games. The weird, crazy thing about it is that because that company developed that game, they own the rights to all the new original characters that they put in there. Mm-hmm. So that's why Skullamania why wouldn't you want to see Skullamania in like a regular Street Fighter game? Yeah, because he belongs to those guys.
But even with a small budget, you can have some sort of structure that appeals to at least a good audience. I mean, even though Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite was, you know, like lackluster to a lot of people for its small budget, it still had formidable fighting, a good cast of characters, and if you wanted to add him a few more faces like Black Panther and Monster Hunter, it wasn't the best game in the series, but it was serviceable and it was complete.
Yeah, it was. I mean, even the story was like crappy, but there was a story there. You know, it's like you can't just release a game like that.
I look at a game like the Guilty Gear games, right? I mean, those guys didn't have nearly the size of a team as a Street Fighter game, but they were able to put out so many characters, you know, and they managed to put the game out, for a lower price than everything else on the market,
and it was complete.
And it was a complete game. Had a story mode, had a versus mode, had an online mode. So you're getting a lot of bang for your buck if you're getting a Guilty Gear game. What's up with these guys?
And Injustice series. So
that's another one.
Oh yeah, Injustice is a great one. Even if you didn't get the DLC characters, they had a great story going for it and a cast of characters. And you know, if you did go for the DLC, hell, you could put Hellboy against the Ninja Turtle. How often do you get to do something like that? Ever? Like never.
Yep.
Yeah. Big shout out to Red Infamy who's joining us in the chat. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, Red?
Yeah, she says Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite was trash. And I like how she put a capital on team.
I thought you were here to sweet talk me. What the
hell? Robert, man, you crazy. All right, let's move on here. This is interesting to me, man. So this came down today, too. So H1Z1 Battle Royale, the game's been out for like a month now, right? It has surpassed 10 million players on PlayStation 4. These Battle Royale games ain't going anywhere anytime soon, man. So
H1Z1.
Yeah.
People wonder why Sony don't want to crossplay. 10 million players, man?
10 million. That is fucking crazy.
I think those numbers are not what we think. Because are you saying like 10 million people have played the game? Or they've been 10 million
It's still free
players?
To play. That's the other thing.
It's still free to play. Yes, yes, yeah.
Free to play
yeah, 10 million players. Like, so yeah, Brian, it is 10 million people have played it. It could be like, hey, I played it for a second, then I left.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a free to play game, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. Think about it like this. I'm one of those 10 million. I played it for about like half an hour. I'm like, okay.
Same. I'm one of those people too.
Me too.
Yeah. I did the Twisted Metal thing for a little while. I was done, but it was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. The timeline seems it feels like those like weird, like twisted word things where it's like, it's not really 10 million. It's just like, hey, we've had 10 million people press play on like during the game. It's like,
it's still pretty good, really bro.
Yeah, it's still pretty amazing. But the thing, but it goes back to what we said about Sea of Thieves and State of Decay. It's like, okay, 2 million, 1 million is like, yeah, but those people could have just been in there and dipped. You know what I'm saying? But it is still something to boast about, I guess. But, you know, it's just kind of crazy. Even if they just tried it for a little bit, it's like, damn, these Battle Royale games are really something right now. And I'm wondering, when this game goes live, like, because it's still in beta or whatever, could this be PlayStation's answer to PUBG?
Well, I'd be surprised if it was. I mean, I think that's what the announcement was about. They're trying to remain relevant while they think, like, you know, Fortnite's ruling the roost or whatever else is coming down the pike. I would say PUBG, but PUBG is kind of losing a little steam.
So yeah. I mean, from what I played, you know, because, and you guys saw the stream me and Carlos did at Fortnite. That was not fun. At least H1Z1 is more, you know, you don't have to do any of that building nonsense. So it's a little bit better in that sense, but it's still a battle royale type of game at the end of the day. Anyway, go ahead, Brian.
I'll say with all games, give it 3 months and see where it's at.
Yeah, three months after launches. Right now, yes. This shit don't count, you know. Because right, like, Brian. Look what happened with PUBG. Right when PUBG went live, people stopped talking about the game.
No, PUBG was still big, like for ages, like on PC, like what?
Ages.
Well, I think part of it was like when they released it for Xbox One as a full title.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. After that, people stopped talking about it.
Isn't like one of the biggest selling games on like Xbox this year or something like that?
Oh yeah, no, it is. But my point is like, but your 3 month thing is kind of on point.
What sucked?
Yeah.
No, because it's okay. Why is it kind of off point?
What killed it was the map.
Huh?
What killed it was the new map. They came out with a new map and no one liked it. So they were like, fuck, we'll move on to something else. Remember, it was the map. People were bitter about that new map. They're like, all right, this isn't what we wanted. So they're like, oh shit. So then people just ran off to the next for you to play Battle Royale.
Which is Fortnite.
If that map was on point, they probably would have stayed.
Yeah, because I noticed PUBG hit the height of its popularity right when it like became live. And then like after that started trickling down, you don't really hear about it too much anymore, which is interesting because it was like the biggest game of last year, you know? But yeah, H1Z1, there you go. I mean, when is this thing going to go live again? I don't even know if they have a date for it yet.
I think it'll be this fall sometime, they said.
Yeah, so we'll have to see. Robert, okay. What do you think about these Battle Royale games? Are you into these things?
To an extent. I mean, I played a little bit of Fortnite and it's good, but I'm kind of looking for stuff that does things a little bit differently, like Darwin Project. I really like Darwin Project because you don't have too many weapons on hand. It actually has more interactivity with audiences. It's a lot of fun. So, I mean, there is an aspect I like, but I can definitely see where some people would consider it saturated. I mean, like, it's either Fortnite or something else. Or not that I hate Fortnite. Like I said, I'm just not very good at it. I just I think it's a matter of some people are a little tired of me. And we're only about, what, a year in? I mean, the Battle Royale's only been around for, like, a year.
Yeah,
right?
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. This is when
it'll be around for longer.
Yeah. Okay, let's rephrase it. This is how now, it's been popular, you know, because nobody really talked about it before PUBG came around.
Now, if somebody can introduce a new aspect to it, there is, I am interested in seeing how Blackout in Black Ops 4 is going to be. Because it sounds like that's going to be a big-ass multiplayer party. But the problem is we haven't seen anything from it. So
I don't know. How do you feel about the new Fallout?
Oh, 76?
Yeah. Because, I mean, essentially, I've been long been a proponent of that type of game, the DayZ kind of game, what H1Z1 originally was, is just a long, extended version of kind of a King of the Hill or Battle Royale game. But the difference
How do you feel about The Last of Us?
Random.
Yeah, that was
very random.
No, I'm only joking. I thought because I thought Brett, like when you mentioned what's that game again? Fallout. I'm like, are you just talking about just a random ass game you want Robert's opinion on?
No.
What do you think about Fallout? So that's why I said, what about The Last of Us?
Gotcha. Okay, let me close the circle. I ever since like DayZ came out, I've been a proponent of this type of game is gaining validity, and I feel like the Battle Royale is basically a half step there. Everyone's like, look at how much freedom I have. I can run around and I can build stuff. Each game is a little bit different. As soon as you take that limitation off, when you've got people there and you give them a world that is continually changing with player-made content, I think that that's going to suck a lot of the people over to that side. So that's why I ask, how do you feel? Because I see a lot of parallels between that type of game and Fallout. So I was curious about your thoughts on Fallout.
I don't quite make that connection.
The circle didn't close.
Sorry.
The circle was not complete. All right.
Teach your own, though.
Yeah, anyway, Brian, you were going to say something about PUBG?
I was supposed to say a couple of things. First of all, fun fact, H1Z1 actually started off as a DayZ clone.
Yep.
And then it transitioned into Battle Royale game.
Wasn't H1Z1 also announced for PlayStation 4 initially,
an early game. Yeah, but it wasn't the Battle Royale version.
I like the fact DayZ.
Yeah, it's still not here.
I like the fact that Brian fought off trying to say H1Z1 or Z1. He's like H1Z. No,
that's the way they say it in the.
No, I know, but it sounded like he was about to say the motherland. Z, but he's like, oh shit, he corrected himself.
Yeah, hold on. Quickly, I want to give a shout out to The Truth, who turned 44 today, man. Happy birthday, brother.
Oh, shit. Happy birthday, man.
And, let me give a birthday shout out to Jake James Lugo. It's his birthday tomorrow.
Ah, is he 44 really? Also?
Yeah, happy birthday. I think he's 35 now.
Oh, shit.
Venom is fat, man.
Hey, guys. Hey, thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys. You know,
here's an owl for you.
You know, I really want to keep things positive, and you know, it's gonna be a great day. Happy birthday to me.
Pass me my tea.
Y'all messed up.
Oh, shit. Hey, he posts owls all over my timeline. Jake deserves it.
Oh man. By the way, Techno Fabulous is actually right. Fallout 76 is too much like Rise Son of Rome, man. We gotta stop that shit.
Oh damn. Oh.
Next thing you know, you're gonna say it's like Saints Row. Stop it.
Did you guys see this nonsense?
It's getting ridiculous.
Today? Okay, basically, just quickly, all these Xbox guys were saying that Ghost of Tsushima is ripping off of Rise. This is the second time they've done this. It's like God of War's ripping off of Rise. So all the pony guys were like, okay, every game's like Rise now. So they started doing memes and shit. It's hilarious, you know?
Crazy. Yes.
Yeah, Fall 76. Yeah, it's essentially Rise Son of Rome. Let's just be real here. God. We're losing track here. But yeah, Battle Royale. I'm already tired of it. I was tired of this shit last year. So like, can we move on, please? What's the next fad?
You get tired of everything though, Tony.
That's I really do. I was tired of the military first person shooters last generation, and look how long that lasted. You know?
That's for life.
No, but those are, you know, they're still there, but they're not as prevalent as they
there was a point where there was every single studio had a military first
every
person.
One of them. And then
now
every
it's game, like now you can literally count them on your hand.
And remember when every game had shoehorned in multiplayer, even if it didn't need multiplayer?
Old BioShock 2.
They still do that.
Which Uncharted, is compared
to Tomb Raider, God of War,
Rise Son of Rome.
Yeah, Rise Son of Rome. There you go. Hey, I'm playing Mega Man 9 actually right now, Mark. It's awesome.
Does that have loot boxes?
No, it has the Battle Royale mode though.
Oh, it does. Okay, good. That's great.
There we go. Mega Man?
You got millions and millions of dollars.
No, microtransactions. You got to pay Dr. Light for all the power-ups.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Okay, so let me ask you guys this, cuz I'm looking at this as so basically arena shooters have become Battle Royale.
Pretty much.
Yeah,
there's still arena shooters out there. It's just that
Nobody cares about them.
There's still Overwatch and Warframe.
Okay, are we talking about arena shooters as in like Unreal and Quake, or are we talking about stuff like Overwatch?
What start the arena shooters like Unreal and Quake turned into the Gears of War, turned into the Overwatches, and now it's turning into the Battle Royales.
Turning into that classic Battle Royale movie.
Yes.
I'd play that.
See if the youngins know that reference.
Yeah.
They don't.
It's not that long ago, goddamn it.
Wait, does it compare to Rise, Son of Rome?
Rise, Son of Rome, and you know it, the Bible ripped off of it. Did you know that, man? They got Romans in there too.
Oh God! No, Tony, you gotta phrase it to him as the Hunger Games.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then the kids will understand. You know.
Yeah, they ripped off the Hunger Games.
Man. Hey,
good story.
What about that Pee Wee's Big Adventure reference in Rise, Son of Rome?
We could do this all night, man. Oh my God!
Right. Although there was one interesting thing from this Battle Royale battle. And that's when PUBG tried to sue Epic Games. And we saw how that
looked. Look at Mr. Transition here, man. Look at this.
Look at Mr. Transition here.
So, yeah, like we talked about last month, the PUBG Corporation was suing Epic Games. And today or a couple of days ago, they're dropping their lawsuit. Wow. Big surprise there.
It's really funny when a company that literally had who uses all the assets that you can find in the Unreal store and he uses the Unreal engine decides to sue the company that's pretty much made their fucking game possible.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, quick shout out to Techno Fabulous for the super chat. You know, we got to hit him with Call of Duty.
pew, 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 there you go, man.
But the lawsuit was so stupid. It's like, okay, so you're okay. Cause they said like they were infringing on their like, copyrights the assets. I'm like, but you're using assets made by Unreal.
No, they are literally if you have Unreal now, the Unreal has a store where you can literally buy every like assets that you need to make a game. Guns, cars, buildings, terrain, you know, trees, every single thing. And every single thing in that game has not been created specifically for that game. Most of that stuff is just stuff from the Unreal store that they're using, you know, because they bought whatever, you know, license or it came with it. So yeah. It's like, hey, let's make almost zero effort in making this sort of thing.
All right. Now we got a different lawsuit. We got the whole Bethesda thing going on with Shelter and with that other, was it the Westworld game?
Yeah.
And that they can even pinpoint certain bugs that were in Shelter that are relevant and are appearing in the Westworld game. And then what studio is it? WB? It's WB that did it? Warner Brothers, their lawyer came out today with a statement talking about, it's like, well, you have no real proof and this is all BS. It's like, really? They said they have the proof with the code. Once you open them both up, you know, and you start looking at the code, if they match, then you're fucked.
Yeah. We also don't know if they made any settlement outside of court or whatever. We don't know. We just know the things has been dropped, you know, very interesting. Mm-hmm. And like I said before, I'm like, okay, are they going to sue everybody that does Battle Royale, because Battle Royale is just a game mode, and if that's the case, should Epic sue everybody that had a horde mode? You know what I'm saying? It's fucking dumb.
Didn't Blizzard just do something with Overwatch? They just put a patent on a game mode.
Yeah, they got a hamster now, man.
What? No, that's the character, but there's a mode. There's a new mode, and they put a patent on the mode.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know you could do that.
Let me look that up.
Yeah, but yeah, go ahead, Robert.
We're talking about a hamster with a fucking robot suit.
Yeah. By the way, people were mad about them. I go, so you're okay with the talking gorilla, but you're mad about the hamster?
Hey, you want to see a bad
hamster? Why are they mad at a hamster?
I don't know.
Because he's too adorable to
Is that what play? It is?
He's in a robot. Like, you don't see him.
Yeah, you don't see him, so I don't see the point of that.
He's in a roly-poly.
If you want to see a bad hamster in a video game, go check out Rise, Son of Rome.
Obviously, this game has stolen the hamster idea from Rise, Son of Rome.
Of course.
You know, when you saw like the hamster running around in a Roman outfit trying to kill everybody, you knew that wasn't historically correct.
Yeah, exactly. Shinazi says he wishes the writer of Battle Royale would sue PUBG.
Actually, isn't the director the director's dead now? Otherwise, I'm sure he would have.
Well, I mean, maybe not the person who wrote the manga, because that's where it came from.
Well, true, true.
And that manga is itself inspired by Rise Son of Rome, right?
Yes, and that was also inspired by Rise Son of Rome
and Cruisin' World.
Yep.
Yeah.
All of it.
Barry Burns says the hamster is trying to sell them a Kia. That's a good one, man. But yeah, the stupid frivolous lawsuit is done. So yeah, there you go.
So, you know, it's funny, like with that Westworld game, right? Ripping off a Fallout Shelter. It's funny about that because, you know, that is not the first cell phone game that also was for a well-known franchise to rip off something else. If you remember, there was a Marvel game that was a cell phone game, and that game has they constantly advertise it, but they have all these kind of, it's like a semi fighting game for a cell phone, and every time they're adding new characters. One thing they did was that whenever you you have like these finisher moves, and the finisher moves are literally spot on clones of Street Fighter super moves. So that one move where Chun-Li does that really does a really quick kick and then does all this really flips out and does all that stuff. They literally ripped off all that stuff from Street Fighter. They fixed it, but yeah, before it was like that.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. All right, we're gonna wrap this up, but let's do some kind of interesting here. Since we have two guests here, I'm gonna let you guys just ramble about whatever you want to right now. Because Robert, I know you got a couple of things you want to talk about, some extra little things. But before that, Riku, do you have anything you want to just talk about? Video game related that you want people to actually notice or whatever.
Not that comes to mind right now, so I'll let him go.
All right, so I'll ask you this question then: how many platinums you got now, man?
156.
Oh shit! And you're working on Final Fantasy VII at the moment, right?
Yes, I'm working on Final Fantasy VII. Final Fantasy VII will be my 157th.
I see. Did you time that though? Did you make sure?
I really didn't.
It just worked. It's a winky dink.
Yes, it is.
No, because you're very methodical about this shit. So
I used to be.
Oh, Riku, you changing, man? What happened?
Oh, yeah, man. I'm changing on all of you, man. I I'm going to be honest with you, Tony. I just want to play some classic turn-based RPG games.
Man.
That's all I want to do, man. No, man. I just want to go grab myself a PlayStation 1 and disappear. Yeah.
By the way, I'm not going to say anything, but Riku's going to know what I'm talking about. Riku, I will never click on any video you ever send me ever again, you dirty motherfucker.
Man, I had to get y'all, man.
Fuck, man. How's Amber, by the way?
Oh, Lord.
All right. Hey, Robert, what's some other stuff you want to cover?
A couple things real quick. Looks like we're finally getting a Halo TV series.
Ah, yes.
Over on Showtime, Kyle Killen will be executive producer, and Rupert Wyatt, who directed Rise of the Planet of the Apes, and also executive produce. Showtime has greenlit the series for 10 episodes. Now, the real question is, can it capture the vibe of the series?
I'm going to watch 3 of those. I'm hyped.
3 of those? Only 3.
All Halo 3 of them.
I don't know. We'll see.
Did they say it? Is it going to follow Master Chief? Is it just going to like?
Didn't say. What is
it? Didn't say.
Do you want it to follow Master Chief?
To a point, but then if they do that, they're going to have to take that helmet off, and then what should be under besides Vin Diesel?
Firmly.
Robert, do you want it to follow Master Chief?
I wouldn't mind seeing Master Chief as a secondary star, but I think it really should focus on a new arc.
Yo, man, you got a superstar in that show right now. Resurrect Spartan Locke. Bam, that's your superstar.
Yeah, get Luke Cage in that bitch, man.
That's that dude, everybody loves that dude. Everybody loves that dude right now.
Yeah, he's so loved in Papal Guardians. Be like, hey, you know what we need more in Halo 6? Spartan Locke.
That's right. That's
and for that matter, where are my Rise Son of Rome?
It's that sequel, right? Where's that?
Nah, man, he's bringing Spartan Locke back. Like, I'm Luke Cage now, motherfuckers.
He just be like, yeah, Spartan Locke in the house.
He just punches off like the head of somebody. Harlem.
And then he'll dab.
Then he'll dab. Yo, man, you're going to have a guy in a Halo suit do a dab? Yo,
hold on. So is Halo going to take place in Harlem now?
They just land their ship. Shit, you seen any aliens around?
Yeah, right. Oh man. Okay. Anyway, so yeah, Halo. That's cool. I mean, yeah,
that is cool.
Yeah, that is. Hey, I'm down with the Halo. Has a really cool story, man. I'm down for that.
Yeah, and then one other thing I want to mention, just because I'm an old school fan, looks like Toe Jam and Earl Back in the Groove is back on the map. It's actually no longer being published by Adult Swim Games. Human Nature Studios is going to publish it themselves. And they're talking about how it's going to come out later this year, and they're going to run a closed beta soon. As a Toe Jam and Earl fan, I mean, I love this, the idea behind this game. So I'm looking forward to finally playing some more of it, because some people say I look like Big Earl.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want to say anything, but yeah.
You were going to. Shut up.
That's okay. I look like Tony.
Tony looks like one of the aliens trying to dance.
Yeah, that is true. And Brett said you look like Toe Jam, right?
No. I said I look like Toe Jam, so it's cool. We can partner up, man.
Yeah, there you go. And I'll be one of the aliens. It'll be perfect.
Yeah, I know, right?
You're always live, live action movie.
What?
What was that?
With Vin Diesel just showing up.
Yeah.
Hey guys.
Ready to dance.
Tremor.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So speaking of betas, is anybody going to be playing some of that Bloodstained? Because
I got the demo. It's really awesome.
Got the demo. It's a it's a really, really close to complete version of the game. It's got story elements. It's got side quests. It's got multiple characters.
Yep.
It's got some stuff.
It does. It's the same as the E3 build. Is what mm-hmm. it is.
Oh, it's pretty much that.
Really well put together. I love it.
Yeah, Robert, did you back the game too?
I did.
Ah, okay. That's why I'm like, yo, man, Igarashi, man, where's my code?
Yeah. Well, I'm patient. Because, you know, if you piss them off, then that's when they don't send you jack shit.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't get that code, so I'm just going to keep playing Curse of the Moon instead, you know, which is a great game.
Curse of the Moon is great, though. That game is badass.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome, man.
Again, if you think about it, it's kind of a NT Creates kind of making up for Mighty No. 9, because let me just say, NT Creates were the actual developers that made Mighty No. 9.
I thought it was Concept.
Yeah,
no, Concept does not make games. They only create concepts.
Messes.
Ah, okay.
That's why their name is Concept, because that company was there to do is to create concepts for games. The real developer of Mighty No. 9 was actually NT Creates. NT Creates.
Well, you can't pick on NT Creates too much. They did Mega Man 9 and Mega Man 10.
Yes.
Okay, and they also did the Azura Striker Gunvolt games, which are very good. Which and Blaster Master good. Zero. No, they're very good.
They're a very good company, but I feel like Concept kind of created a no-win situation with Mighty No. 9.
Of course they did. And, you know, the whole Kickstarter mess.
Man, I'm so upset by that. But Mega Man 11 is coming. Ooh, it's going to be so good. Oh, I cannot wait.
Yo, man, you played that.
I did play it, and it was fucking awesome. That's why I'm hyped, you know?
It's going to be good. It'll be good times.
It didn't bother you with the new design of Mega Man, because you're always about tradition and not changing shit. So.
What are you talking about? I mean, it feels like Mega Man. Who says I'm not about change shit? You just have to make the changes good. They changed all Resident Evil 2. I'm fucking hyped for that shit. Mm-hmm. You know? Change's got to be good, man. Change's got to be good.
Hey, Tony, I got a question.
What up?
We got time for one?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I want people's thoughts on the complete lack of any information of Red Dead over E3. Now that it's died down, I feel like it's kind of an appropriate time to ask that. Like, so what's up with Red Dead?
Simple. Rockstar doesn't give a fuck about E3.
they don't. On their own time. They never reveal anything in E3.
They never do. It's been a long time since they have. Rockstar does not give a fuck about E3. They don't need E3. They're so big.
No,
Hold up. I will say that Rockstar, they did have a presence at Take-Two, and I sat down and talked to a couple of Rockstar reps. They didn't reveal any new Red Dead information, but there's a reason for that. It's because they don't really need to. They know the hype that's built behind the game based on the trailer. You know, they're probably going to reveal gameplay in a few months here. They're probably going to talk about features closer to the game's release, but they don't need to show their hand. That's the problem. A lot of companies like to talk about their features, and then, you know, when the game comes out, that's all there is, you know. Whereas Rockstar, they're playing the complete opposite route. That's the way they did with Grand Theft Auto 5. They didn't reveal anything about online when the game was leading up to release. They only released so much of the trailer, didn't reveal any of the gameplay. And what happened? That game blew our fucking minds.
Yeah, and I'm glad
you bring up. It's a brilliant strategy.
Yeah, and I'm glad you bring up Grand Theft Auto. Grand Theft Auto 5 had no E3 presence at all for years.
Exactly.
It doesn't need. The last Rockstar game, big Rockstar game that got E3 attention was Grand Theft Auto 4. That was the last one.
Kind of Max Payne. No, Max Payne 3 was at PAX.
Yeah. But the point is, Rockstar does not need E3. They have not needed E3 for a decade now. So, well, Brett, don't take that
as it's not so much about E3. Yeah. It's more like, I can't believe we have this little information about the game this close to its release. But you're right, it is doing exactly what Grand Theft Auto did, and that was wildly successful.
It's a brilliant move, because the less of their hand to show, the less people can try to rip them off.
Yeah, no, you're right about that, you know.
Exactly. It's a smart move. I haven't gotten to the heads of like one of the marketing people, Carrie. I know her pretty well, and she's really savvy. I mean, they didn't reveal any of their strategy at all. They just talked in general about the hype behind Red Dead 2, and that's the way to do it. You build on it. I mean, everybody's getting out of Red Dead 2's way. Even Assassin's Creed is getting out of the way of Red Dead 2's release window. It's like coming out, what, 3 weeks earlier with Odyssey?
Yeah, everybody's like, meh. It's like the parting of the Red Sea, right? It's like
you know a game is good when other AAA developers are like, yeah, you can have that month. It's cool.
Yeah, it's you can have that week. We're good. We'll see you a week before.
It's getting so bad that games on either side of the release date are all bunching up against each other now. It's like, we got no space here. It was like, Red Dead.
It's even to the point where some people are asking, could it repeat Grand Theft Auto 5's success? I don't know if it'll go that far.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
But it will sell a bundle. I mean, Rockstar knows how to market these games.
It might go further. If Rockstar has it, I don't know. Here, it's a long shot, but here's the deal. If Rockstar has pretty much grabbed people's idea of this is the base game, every once in a while, Rockstar makes a game, and that is the game of a generation, and we will all be playing it for 10 years. They've built a lot of customer faith, so people might just be like, it's the next GTA, and just seamlessly move to it. Like, you almost have faith that when Rockstar releases a game like this after GTA, you're like, well, this is going to be the big thing for the next 10 years. Do I want to buy it now, or do I want to buy it later? Or I'm going to buy 4 copies of this by the time this is all over and done.
And yeah,
here's the crazy thing, right? When this game comes out, it's not like Grand Theft Auto 5 is going to suddenly go away, right?
Oh,
Rockstar
no.
is going to be making money off 2 fucking huge games. Yeah. It's going to be nuts, man.
And not to mention crossover potential. You can get like a Red Dead pistol in Grand Theft Auto Online, and who knows like what kind of special modes will be modified to go into Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh, I didn't think about that. You're right.
Red Dead Redemption 2 might, and this is still on the fence because nobody confirmed it, might also get a modified battle royale mode, but made Rockstar's way, which means they won't go by the traditional rules. They'll do something that works just as well as Grand Theft Auto Online did.
It's like they did with the car.
Yeah,
they did with the one we were playing with their car game.
Yeah, I forget that.
But Midnight Club.
No. In Grand Theft Auto Online, they had their own version of Motor Wars.
There you go.
Yeah, Motor Wars. Sorry, I didn't know what you were talking about. But I get you.
Yeah. It's going to be big, man. It's going to be a huge game. They do not need E3. They do not need E3.
And you don't want to make them bigger when they add that Rise Son of Rome mode.
Yeah, right. Oh, God.
But then they come out and said, they said some shit, but we'll see.
I'm sorry. There is no Rise Son of Rome.
They know everyone's going to buy this game. And it's the thing. Now the rumor is that, and it's funny because like this shouldn't even be a rumor, that it is going to come to PC eventually. You know what they're doing, right? I said this before. I'm going to say it again. Basically, they're going to sell you the game on console, knowing that you're going to buy that shit again on PC six months later.
Here's what they could do first. Release the first Red Dead on PC and maybe even do a Switch version. Then get the hype rolling on Red Dead 2. Then bring Red Dead 2 to PC and maybe a modified version of Switch.
Yeah, I don't know if that game can run on Switch, but
we'll see, dude. I mean, Wolfenstein 2 can run on Switch. Anything can happen.
Yeah, well, remember
Wolfenstein 2. I saw a video that Wolfenstein 2 looks nuts on Switch. I'm surprised it runs so smooth.
Yeah, but remember Wolfenstein corridor shooter versus giant open world game. So,
oh yeah, okay, yeah. Fine. But yeah. I'm just saying.
The first Red Dead, I could see that on Switch.
Yeah, the first Red Dead would absolutely work on Switch. People would pick it up. I mean, we're talking mad money for Rockstar if they did something like that.
Yeah,
because I mean, releasing it for PC. We're releasing it for PC with 60 frames per second, 4K support, online support. Boom. We're talking at least 10 million copies. Well, not maybe 5, but tons of copies sold.
I think you guys are forgetting a critical key factor here.
Which is?
Rockstar has to either overhaul GTA completely or understand that it is a limited cash generating revenue. Or because here's the thing, the economy has gotten so wildly out of hand that they need to either overhaul all the money, which is going to be very difficult because that's the entire point of the game. That's you're saving money and building money to get better stuff. So if they adjust prices and everything like that, it's going to cause a huge uproar. But it's already causing a huge uproar because the shark cards aren't worth what they used to be. Like, I'm sure the sales of the shark cards have to be dipping a little bit. And while there are people still playing into a game, they have to realize that if this continues, it's going to reach a point where, okay, I can go out and spend $25 in real world money and get enough to buy a fucking milkshake in the video game.
Oh, man.
So like they're gonna have to do something, and I think they see the writing on the walls where it's not close, it's 5 to 10 years away, but they either need to revamp GTA or they're going to need to move that service into a new game and then come out with a new GTA and have it pick up there.
You know, and I think that's why they're taking their time with Grand Theft Auto 6, because the way 5 is selling, they don't need to worry about it for a few years, but they can put research into what worked so well with Grand Theft Auto 5 and what can make Grand Theft Auto 6 even better.
Yeah, because the thing is, Rockstar always, like, whatever new feature they have in whatever game they release, the next game's going to have that and improve upon it. So whatever's going to be in GTA 6, it's already going to be tested in Red Dead 2.
Yeah, and who knows? It could be San Andreas 2 for all we know.
Yeah,
exactly. So Red Dead 2 is going to be kind of like a stopgap to hold people over until they can come out with GTA 6. Because let's be honest, they're not going to fix GTA 5. They're not going to overhaul. It's going to piss too many people off. It's going to be GTA 6. So they're looking for a stopgap.
Yeah.
So I figure it'll be Red Dead Redemption 2 will be supported for a few years. And then who knows? Maybe they'll introduce Bully 2.
Right? Who knows, man? I know people would like that.
Table tennis too.
Table tennis. Yeah, you know, table tennis is on the Xbox 360.
So. I know she's talking Xbox to the wrong one, person, Xbox buddy. One. Been playing it.
So bye.
All right, man. So again, we're gonna do the contest. So Manny, whip it out. Let's go, man. Not that one though, by the way.
Whip it out.
Excuse me,
Tony.
This is a family show.
Fucking yeah, it is.
All right, so we're giving away a signed poster of Street Fighter V from Mr. Yoshinori Ono himself. This is genuine right there. And to win this, it's pretty easy. We are going to ask you a question. You're going to go over to our page over on Twitter, at Throwdown Show. And when we compile the names, Manny's going to use his fancy scrambler there and pick somebody at random. So, Robert, what is the question that people have to answer?
Okay, you do have to go back a ways here. It is from the 1994 live-action Street Fighter movie that starred a very coked-out Jean-Claude Van Damme and a wonderfully acting late Raul Julia. Who directed the 1994 film? And if you want to get a little bonus in there, you can also mention whatever 80s property they worked on top of that.
Yeah, it may not help you win, but it'll be fun for us.
Sure. Why not? We're bored.
Yeah, and we're old men, so we want to geek out about that. All right, and the last thing here, since Riku is now done streaming on the weekends, we're going to start streaming again. You know, me, Carlos, Manny, Chris, whoever's going to join, you know, whatever game we're going to do. We're probably going to go back to Monster
Hunter. Rise, Son of Rome.
Rise, Son of Rome, there you go. But, you know, I'm thinking maybe Friday we'll do some Monster Hunter, and then maybe on Saturday some GTA, Brian, Adam, man.
Oh, the classic.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I like that.
So, yeah, we're coming back, people. We're coming back.
I can't wait to fuck Brian up, man.
Brian, get ready, man, with your cheating asses, man. Fuck that. All right.
Doing classics, when are we doing Rise, Son of Rome?
That's next weekend. Oh, God. Okay. Yeah, the game that's created every game, man. All right, Riku, man, thank you for being on, dude. Where can people find you, man?
Well, you can find me on Twitter, man. That's the only place I'm going to be at, man. Thank you for having me on. I do apologize for the background noise earlier. I thought I was on mute. Great meeting you, Robert. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, and Riku will return to stream for us one day. What game, we don't know, but he will be back. He will return. You know, like James Bond, he will return. And Robert, as always, man, thank you for being on, dude. Where can people find you, man?
You can find me on the Rise, Son of Rome fan site at twitter.com/thedcd. You can also find my work at comicbook.com/gaming. And if you like fun podcasts like this one, you can check out another retro gaming podcast with myself and David Gilton over at retrozap.com. Actually, we just had a very nice episode where we talked to one of the co-creators of Mortal Kombat, John Tobias.
Oh, John Tobias, man.
Where has that guy been?
He's been busy. I don't know.
If you want to find out where he's been,
come on, man.
Listen to the latest episode of the
podcast. Oh, listen to the show. What is this? I got to sell you on my own show.
Come on.
Yo, babe, that's awesome. Okay,
spoiler. He worked on Scorpion and Sub-Zero.
Oh, God, no.
That's it. That's all I'm going to tell you. You have to
go Scorpion on. And Sub-Zero.
Did he work on Scorpion by Drake?
Oh, yeah. I showed Tony this image. Boss Logic did this image where Drake looked like Scorpion with the glowing yellow eyes and shit.
That's awesome, man.
And Ed Boon approved, apparently.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
Yeah, he tweeted about it. He was like real as fuck.
Wow. All right, man. So thank you guys for watching and listening. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Mixer, Twitter, Periscope, and Facebook at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
Scorpion and Sub-Zero, the deadliest of enemies, but slaves under my power.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
You know, Jim, now I'm genuinely concerned people realize how much this podcast is bitten off of Rome.
Oh, man. Adam Vale.
Lucha Underground is back. Tomorrow, Friday Night Wrestlecast, we want to talk about the three-way dance of death.
Brian Manjoma.
I have no funny outro this time because Brett stole mine. Thanks,
oh,
Brett.
No.
Oh, sorry.
Riku Sun 1, the only one.
Hey, man. Like I said, I don't hate Final Fantasy VII. Final Fantasy VII hates me.
And Robert Workman.
If you're going to buy a fighting game, don't buy Fighting EX Layer. Buy Blastoise.
There you go.
Or
all right,
Gear. Or Guilty Gear. Or King of Fighters Orochi Saga. It's only $15.
Yeah, man. There you
or
go.
Or Luminous. Go buy Luminous. That'll beat people up. Thank you.
You hype for that new Tetris, man?
God, it looks like a drug trip. It looks like I'm drunk all the time. It's amazing.
Oh, man. All right, guys. We'll see you on Sunday, man. Later.